This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. So what comes after death is the grave, or more generally the alam al-barzakh, the state of al-barzakh. And what we want to know, inshallah, by the end of this lecture, among other things, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, is what do we mean by when we say al-barzakh? What does it refer to? How is it similar and different from this worldly life, the dunya, and the akhirah? So what does it share with them, and how is it different from them? What is fitnatul qabr, the trial of the grave? What is it, if someone were to ask you? What are the blessings and the punishments in the grave? Do the people in the grave, can they communicate with the living? Can the living communicate with the people of the grave? Do they hear us? Do they know what's happening to us? These are among some of the questions that I would hope by the end of this lecture, inshallah, if someone were to ask you, you'd be able to answer. So keep them in mind, inshallah, because there is something you're supposed to get from this lecture. So al-barzakh is something greater than the grave. So it's mentioned in the Quran. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, when death comes to one of them, they will say, Ya Allah, send me back. What will they say? Ya Allah, send me back. Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Perhaps I can do something good in the life that I've left. So scholars say he does not wish to go back to earn more money or to be famous, to do anything in this life, meaning he misses nothing in this life except doing good. That's the thing. Just send me back. That's my only regret. Send me back so I can do something good. Then Allah said, Kalla, no. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. He says, no. This is just a word that he's saying. Right? That is, if Allah Azza wa Jal gave you all the reminders that you need to see and all the chances you need to have, and after all of this, all the signs, then when you're about to die on where you're, or when you're dead, he says, send me back so I can do it differently. Allah said, no. Because you're just simply going to go back to what you're used to do. نَهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلٌ. It's like a person in this dunya who proclaims regret. I wish I could have done something differently in my youth, or when I was strong, or when I was rich. But is it sincere? If Allah were to send you back, would you something different, or just simply a regret? كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ وَقَائِلُهَا. Then Allah سَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And then in front of them is a barzakh, till the day where they will be resurrected. Barzakh means in the language a barrier between two things that separates them. So Allah says in another ayah, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. Between two bodies of water is a barrier. They don't transgress. That's what a barzakh means. So a barzakh is greater than the grave. Because the common question that sometimes you're asked, it says, what if a person is not buried? Will he be questioned? Because the question in the one's mind is su'alul qabr, the question in the grave. What if someone is cremated? Will he be punished? So he's saying we call it the punishment or the trial of the grave because it's most commonly happens where? In the grave. But if someone is cremated, is questioned and is still punished or blessed, because it's on the soul connected to whatever is or remains of the body. So it doesn't matter. You're never going to escape it. Whether you are buried or in the belly of an animal or you've been burned. Right? So the barzakh is bigger. Does that make sense? Okay. So promise me none of you is going to ask me that question again. Okay. طيب. So you've heard the Shaykh Barakallahu Fih wa Hafidhahu talk about the soul, it being extracted from the body. If it's righteous, it gets elevated and carried to the heavens one after the other, and then it will be sent to the grave. We've heard that from him. So I'm going to pick up from where he left. Jazakallahu khair. Before it's in the grave, when you're carrying the body on the shoulders to be taken to the cemetery, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, when it's being carried on the shoulders of men, فَإِن كَانَتْ صَالِحَةً قَالَتْ قَدِّمُونِي قَدِّمُونِي. If it's righteous, it will say, put me forward, take me forward, quickly, to be buried. وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ صَالِحَةً قَالَتْ لِأَهْلِهَا وَيْلَهَا إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ بِهَا. And if it's not righteous, it will say, misery to me or woe to me, where are you taking me? So it knows where it's going. So you know when you pray janazah on a body and then you carry it, the soul has consciousness of what is happening. It's around. And by the way, yeah, one of the things that I wanted to ask or wanted us to know about is near-death experiences and how that is related to the barzakh and our ability, I mentioned our ability to communicate with the dead, right? So can we conjure up spirits and ask them questions? So I hope we'll also be able to answer that question. So anyway, so the soul has consciousness when it's being carried on the shoulders of men and what is going to happen to it. So there is an awareness, right? It knows. And then when you take that body and you bury it, as some of the Sahaba said, Amr ibn al-As, if I remember right, he said, and even if you bury me, wait next to the grave, next to my grave. قَدْرَ مَا يُنْحَرُ جَزُورٌ وَيُقَسَّمُ لَحْمُهَا. As long as it takes to slaughter a camel and cut up and distribute the meat. So about 20 minutes. حَتَّى أَنْظُرَ مَا أُرَاجِعُ بِهِ رُسُلَ رَبِّي وَأَسْتَأْنِسُ بِكُمْ. So until what? Until I see what I will reply to the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, and so that you give me comfort with your presence. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, after the person is buried, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرْعَ نِعَالِهِمْ. He says he hears their footsteps. So he's down there, the soul is down there with the body, and they are conscious and aware of what is happening on top. He hears the people around, he knows who is there, and according to Allah, he say, don't rush and leave. Why? What's happening? The person is being what? Questioned and asked. Okay. So give me comfort with your presence. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, سَلُوا لِأَخِيكُمُ الْمَغْفِرَةَ وَالتَّثْبِيتَ فَإِنَّهُ الْآنَ يُسْأَلُ. It says, ask forgiveness and steadfastness for your brother because now he's being questioned. Now. So that tells you it's as soon as you bury the person and you finish the barrier, all of it, you wait for about 20 minutes because at that time they're being questioned. Right then, they're being questioned. Okay. Now, anything that is going to happen to us after our death can only be known through news from Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, it's inaccessible through reason and experience, through reason and the senses. Were you to open a grave and monitor what is happening to that person, you will not see any of this. If you were to put a camera with him for days and months and years, you would not see any of it. So this is inaccessible. So there is no room for a person to know what is going to happen except through Allah's revelation. So this is from as-sam'iyat. Laysa min al-aqliyat. Reason has no part to play in understanding what happens there. You wouldn't know about it unless Allah Azza wa Jal told you, and Allah told you. So that's the only way that we know. So the first thing that a person experiences in the grave, and if he is not buried, wherever he may be, the soul comes back. It goes up first, right? And then it comes back to the grave. The first thing is that there is the contraction of the grave. The grave, whether you are a believer, a non-believer, a Muslim, whatever you may be, the grave will contract and then expand. And that contraction, wallahu a'lam, is softer on the believers, not so on the non-believers. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لو نجا منها شخص لنجا منها سعد, يعني سعد بن معاد. He says, if a person were to survive or escape that contraction of the grave, Sa'd would have escaped it, but he did not. So that's the first thing that happened, a contraction, and then it expands back. Then two angels descend. And what are the names of those angels? What are their names? Exactly. Munkar and Nakir. Now, do you know why they're called Munkar and Nakir? Because they're frightful. Right? They're frightening. It's not a usual sight. They are stern. And they are harsh, and they will yell at you. Okay? That's a fitna. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith, وَإِنَّهُ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّكُمْ تُفْتَنُونَ فِي قُبُورِكُمْ قَرِيبًا مِثْلَ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ. Okay? And it was revealed to me that you will be tested in the grave, a fitna, close to the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. You know that the Dajjal is the greatest fitna on earth? Right? So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the fitna in the grave is close to the fitna. Not exactly, he said, qariban, close to the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. Because Munkar al-Nakir will come and will ask this person, and this is the believer. He says, man rabbuk, who's your Rabb? He says, Rabbi Allah. Allah is my Rabb. He says, ma dinuk, what is your religion? He says, my religion is Islam. He says, ma kunta taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul, what did you say about that man? So he knows, he says, Muhammad. He says, I used to say he is the prophet and the messenger of Allah. He says, wa ma ilmuk, he says, how did you know? He says, qara'tu kitab Allahi wa saddaqtu. He says, I read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and I believed it. قَالَ فَيَنْتَهِرَانِهِ. That's when they yell at him. Stern. مَنْ رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِيهِ. Yeah? That is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is when Allah said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Azza Jal will establish those who have iman with the established or with the firm saying in this world and in the next. Meaning if Allah does not hold you still, you will not know what to say. That's the difficulty, because they will yell at him. And if he is honest, he'll bring the same answer back. Whereas the other one, the disbeliever, will not know what to say. They will come and ask him, who is your Rabb? Doesn't know. What is your religion? Does not know. Is this What did you say? What did he used to say about that man? He says, doesn't know who they're talking about. They say Muhammad. He says, I used to hear people say something, so I said it. So there will be a voice coming down from the sky. He said, كَذَبَ عَبْدِي أُكْتُبُ كِتَابَهُ فِي سَجِّنِي. He says, my servant has lied. I mean, he's a liar. Write his book or put his book in Sajjin. And for the believer, أَنْ قَدْ صَدَقَ عَبْدِي. My abd, my servant has said the truth. Write or keep his book in عِلِّيِّن, in the highest levels. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, for the believer, a portal will be opened between him and Jannah. And he will see his place in paradise. And the angel will tell him, this is your place in paradise. And then a portal will be opened between him and hellfire. And he said, this was your place in hellfire. If you would not have been a believer, but Allah saved you from it. This is your place in Jannah. And that portal between him and Jannah will bring him furnishing from Jannah. فَيُفْرَشُ لَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, meaning he will have furniture from Jannah. And then perfume from Jannah, and clothing from Jannah, and light from Jannah. وَيُمَدُّ لَهُ مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ, and his grave will be expanded as far as the eye can see. And it will be lit like the moon. So then the person will then say, let me go and let my family know. Let me go so I can tell my family. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ إِسْكُنْ. It will be said to him, be still. Let me go and tell my kids. He's aware of his family, how worried they may be about him. Let me go and let them know. He said, be still. And to some scholars, he'll be continuously shown his place in paradise. Day and night. So he'd be increasingly thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he actually will say, Rabbi أَقِمِ السَّاعَةِ, Ya Allah, bring the day of judgment. Because he or she knows what's waiting for him. Ya Allah, bring the day of judgment. But the other person, the disbeliever, a portal between him and heaven will open. And the angel will say, this would have been your place in paradise have you believed, but you've lost it. And then a portal between him and hellfire will open. And then some of its fire will enter his grave. Some of its smoke will enter its grave. Some of its punishment will enter his grave. And then the grave will contract so much that it ribs would crush into each other. And we'll talk about some of the punishment that awaits people in the grave. That's the contrast between the two. Were you to open the grave of this person or that person, you probably would not see a thing. You would not be able to detect that with your eyes. But we believe in it, as the Prophet ﷺ said so. And in fact, the scholars have said it is mutawatir. It is abundantly certain through the Quran and through the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that the punishment of the grave and the trial of the grave is true. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ, you'll find it among his dua, that he would seek and he would urge people to seek Allah's protection from fitnatul qabri wa adabul qabr. Ya Allah, protect me from the fitna, the trial of the qabr, the grave, and the punishment of the grave, which means that both of them are true and both of them need to be in our dua. What would explain to you the importance of the grave is that Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he would visit the cemetery, he would cry so much that he would wet his beard. Radiallahu anhu wa ardah. So they say, or they asked him, he says, when the day of judgment is mentioned, you don't cry as much. But when the grave is mentioned, or in the cemetery, you cry so much. He says, why is that the case? He said, إِنَّ الْأَوَّلُ مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. He says, the grave is the first station of the Akhirah. If it goes well, what's after it is easier. than it. And if it doesn't, what's after it is more difficult than it. So that is the first station of the stations of the Akhirah. It is predictive of what's going to happen later. So if a person survives this and is blessed, what comes later is only better and better. And if it doesn't survive it, then what comes later could be worse and worse. Now, the Prophet ﷺ also told us that it doesn't stop there. So let's tackle the believer first and then go to the non-believers. It doesn't stop there. He said ﷺ, نَسْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ طَائِرٌ يَعْلَقُ فِي شَجَرِ الْجَنَّةِ. He says the soul of the believer is a bird, is or like lands or perches on the trees of paradise. So after all this, after everything that we've talked about and the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal had told us about in the grave for the believer, it doesn't just end there. As the body decays, and it doesn't all decay, عجب الذنب, the last part of his spine, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, that part of the bone does not decay. And it is from that that the rest of the body, Allah Azza wa Jal sends rain on the day of judgment for resurrection. But as the body starts decaying, the soul of the believer starts having greater attachment to Jannah. So he said ﷺ, that the soul of the believer is a bird. The soul is a bird. Where is this bird? Perching or sitting on a tree in Jannah, meaning inside Jannah. Inside Jannah. The soul of the shaheed has an added advantage. The soul of the shaheed is inside a green bird, as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that flies wherever it wants in Jannah. So that's the added advantage for the shaheed. Because the soul of the believer is sitting on the tree. The soul of the martyr does what? Flies around. Right? So that tells you that people will have entry into Jannah, or a particular type of entry, a soul entry into Jannah, if they are believers. And they will eat from that body that they are housed in. They will eat from the fruits of Jannah during that time of barzakh, until Allah Azza wa Jal ends all of this and allows everybody to be resurrected and put into their bodies. That's what happens with the believers. What happens with the non-believer, and the hadith continues. So he said, the grave will contract until it crushes his bones. And then he said also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in another hadith, ثُمَّ يُوَكَّلُ بِهِ أَعْمَى أَصَمُّ أَبْكَمُ. Then a being, could be an angel, it doesn't say, but a being who is blind, deaf, and mute, who carries a hammer with him, and that's authentic. He said, if he were to hit a mountain with this, the mountain will turn into dust. So he takes this hammer and he hits him with it and he turns into dust. Then he is brought back to life. And he hits him again with it, and he screams so loud that everything hears it except the ins and the jinn, except humans and the jinn. Everything hears it except the ins and the jinn. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on a couple of occasions, he would be passing by graves, and he would say, can you hear? And they said, no, what is it? He says, the screams of the people in the grave. I could ask Allah Azza wa Jal and He could have you hear it. So we can't hear it. But when you walk by a cemetery, there could be people inside there being blessed next beside people who are being punished, and they don't affect each other. The Prophet ﷺ could hear that. He also said, among the punishment that is there in the grave, he said, ﷺ, what he called in some hadith, at-tinneen. In the modern Arabic, you would translate this as a dragon, but what is explained in the hadith is a snake or multi-headed snake that bites him. And that's part of the punishment that Allah Azza wa Jal has for people there, in addition to other things that we were not told about and we do not know. So that's what's happening to disbelievers. This is what is happening to the believers, is the punishment in the grave continuous till the day of judgment? I mean, does it continue till the day of judgment, or can it stop? Scholars have said, depends on the sin. Some people will be blessed until they are resurrected. Some people will be punished all the way until their resurrection, meaning continuous, it doesn't stop. And some people will only be punished in so much as they have sinned. In so much as they have sinned. And once the punishment is done, because the sin is over, they'll be blessed after. So they have a time of when they are be punished and a time when they will be blessed after, depending on the sin. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the hadith that you probably know, he was passing by a grave and he two of them, and he said, أَمَا إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ بِكَبِيرٍ أَمَّا أَحَنُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ أَوْ بِالْغِيبَةِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ أَوْ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. He said, they are being punished, and they're not being punished for something that is big. And then he said, but it is big. As for one of them, he would carry or divulge people's secrets, or backbite, tail-bearing, غِيبَ and نَمِيمَةِ. He's accused of that. He's guilty of that. He's being punished because of this in the grave. And as for the other, he would not cleanse himself from urine or conceal himself when he's urinating. So one of the reasons for a punishment in the grave is backbiting. Do we do that? Yeah? So is that a major sin? So if you don't want to be punished in the grave, don't do it. It's not worth it. And also purify yourself from urine. Right? Cleanse yourself from it, tahara. Right? So if a person is being punished and another is being blessed, is there an ability? Can we communicate with them? Can we connect with them? Do they hear us if we are around them in the cemetery, if we speak to them? First of all, the dead are occupied. They're either being blessed or they're either being punished. Some people believe that the dead can leave their graves and they can roam the earth on particular days, on particular occasions, on particular anniversaries, on Eid. Who has that belief? Let's spruce up the house on Eid because the dead are going to visit. Right? Or non-Muslims who would believe that. The right answer to this is that the dead are not free to roam the earth. They're not free to roam the heavens. They're occupied. Okay? As we've mentioned. If a person is being punished, he can't escape that punishment. And if a person is being blessed, he's between the grave and heaven. So they don't go to visit you. They're not looking down on you. They're not beside you taking care of you. And by the way, when a person loses a loved one, that is a very emotional and vulnerable time. Very vulnerable time. So a lot of us could tend to believe that the dead are around us because it's comforting. Or they're looking out for us, or they know what is happening to us. Because it's very reassuring to know that my dad is right next to me, will take care of me, he's watching over me, he's wishing me the best. No, the dead are separated from what is happening to us. The evidence of this is that we have some hadith and some athar of the Prophet ﷺ, that when a new person dies, he is received by the dead who, and they want to ask him questions. Then others will tell him, come on, give him some break. He has just been through a lot. Then they will ask him, what happened to so-and-so? Did she marry? What happened to so-and-so? What happened to this and that? So they will only get through their news through the newcomers. And if he had said, oh, he died before me, did you not see him? they'll say, oh God, he had gone to hell. Meaning, if they are righteous, they will have an opportunity to meet new dead people. And if they come, they'll ask them, what happened to this? What happened to this? What happened? They don't know what's happening in the dunya unless people tell them. And if you were to say, but so-and-so died before me, did he not come? Or if he did not come here, he went somewhere else, not to us. So they have no knowledge of what is happening in the dunya unless they are told. Right? Now, can we talk to them? Can we conjure up the dead? What if you pass by a person who's a psychic and tells you, I can see your father and your mother right next to you, and they're telling me X, Y, and Z about you, and it's accurate. It's really accurate. They call you by the pet name that only they could call you. And you say to yourself, maybe it is my father right next to me. It is my father, mother right next to me. Is that true? Who's right next to you? The jinn, who know all of these details, not your parents. So we don't have direct communication with the dead. We can't have a seance, a conjuring of the dead. We can say, let's bring on the spirits, tell me, and that they will talk to you, and you talk to them. That's not true. All that is nonsense. But there is a way where you can talk to the dead and the dead can talk to you. What is that? In what? Come on, it's fine. Even if it's wrong. In what? Dua? Well, I mean, if you make dua to them, so a person will have a particular station in Jannah. And then he will be elevated, raised up. And he say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, by what did I deserve this elevation? He says, because of the dua of your child. So he will know that my child gave me this and that, did this and that to me, for me, that elevated me. So in a sense, you could call that communication. There's another way. Dreams. Dreams. Right? So in a dream, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina tamut fi manamiha. Allah Azza wa Jal, right, takes the soul of those people who sleep and those who are dead. Allahu yatawaffa, that he takes the souls of both. So sleep is a minor death. It resembles death, where the soul separates, not completely, but partially from the body. In death, it separates completely. Still is connected, but it's a connection. For sleep, it's a partial separation. And in that, the souls can meet. The souls can meet in the realm that Allah knows about, they can meet. So you could see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and your vision could be true. You could see your mother and your father. You could see any dead scholar. That's always a possibility. And that could be a true, genuine dream. The question here, is it always true? No. So, a dream could be a fantasy. Something you wanted to see and you saw it. So you see your mother, you see your father, but they're not really your mother and your father. It's just images in your head of things that are inside of you. It could be that what you've seen is the trickery of the devil. The plot of the devil. So it's not true. Or it could be that you had seen is one of them indeed. How do you know? By the content. By the content. If the content is authentic, the content is agreeable with the Quran and the Sunnah, does not contradict them, there's nothing haram in it, nothing doubtful about it, and it has in it signs that the one who's talking to you is in fact that person, then you've seen them, wallahu a'lam. So they had visions or they had dreams of the scholars of Islam before. They would see Ibn al-Mubarak, they will see Al-Thawri, they will see Ahmad ibn Hanbal, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ قَالَ غَفَرَ لِي, and so on and so on and so on. They'll see these scholars and they'll ask him, what did Allah do with you? He said, Allah forgave me. Why did he forgive you? Because of this, because of this, because of that. So they could see the scholars, and on top of all of that, they could see the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? So it's indeed, you could see those people. And there is this intersection between those who are asleep and the world of al-barzakh. Now, near-death experiences, do you know what that is? Right? So when a person, it's reversible death. You're clinically dead, but you come back to life. And so some people say that what they've seen is their spirits hovering above their bodies. And then they have visions. It's a black tunnel. At the end of it, there is light. Or they see their parents. And they see, could be, just hallucination, something that you saw, a dream, a really vivid dream, but it's just a dream. Or it could be the shaitan playing with you, right? A very weak state when your soul is kind of struggling. Could be the shaitan is playing with you. Or maybe you saw something that is real, but we can neither confirm nor deny it's part of the barzakh. What we know is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So we don't have to investigate those phenomena and put a lot of credence in them. What we have is enough from him, ﷺ. And that is the state of al-barzakh that will continue. And as I said, it's predicative of what's going to happen later on. So what do you want to take from it? And maybe before I leave, some of the things that will protect you from the punishment in the grave. And that is not exhaustive, but some of the things. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the beginning, that's where the believer, when the angel wants to come to him, the salah would be at his head, the deceased. So the salah will say, you can't come from here. Fasting will be on the right. Fasting will say, not from this side. Zakah will be on the left. Zakah, he said, not from my side. And then the rest of righteous deeds will be next to his feet. So they say, not from my side. So that protects him. And then the angel will set him up and ask him these questions. But initially, he wants to come in from this side, that side, and that side. He's protected all over because of his good deeds. So salah, zakah, fasting, and then silatul rahim, sadaqah, and all righteousness. So if you do this, it protects you. He said also, alayhi salatu wasalam, there's a surah in the Quran that has 30 ayahs. هي المانع المنجية من عذاب القبر. It is that protection from the punishment in the grave. And that surah is what? Mulk. So the Prophet ﷺ would recite it every night. So if you could recite it every night, eventually you'll memorize it. And if you've memorized it and you make it a habit, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, that will protect you from the punishment in the grave. The shaheed is protected from the trial and the punishment in the grave. The person who dies on the day or night of Friday is protected from the punishment and the trial of the grave. So it's an honor to die on a Friday. Okay? So that's what I have. And again, that's not exhaustive. But before I leave you, inshallah, I just want to give you an opportunity to ask a couple of questions related, inshallah, to the topic. So I'll give, inshallah, the chance for the next speaker, bi'idhnillah. Fadal, yeah. I don't know whom, whoever. Go ahead, please. How long will it feel like? Jazakallah khair. So how long the duration? How long does it feel like? We don't have an accurate sense of how long will it feel like. You reminded me there was something I wanted to mention. There's a hadith in the Prophet ﷺ about Banu Israel. And he said, حَدِّثُوا عَن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَانَ فِيهِمُ الْأَعَاجِيبِ. He says, narrate from the children of Israel because they've experienced wondrous things. He says, there were a group of people who said to themselves from Banu Israel, let's pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that he would bring us back a person from the dead so we can ask him questions. So they went and they prayed and they waited in the cemetery, and then somebody actually rose from the dead. And he was black-skinned, and there is had a trace of salah on his forehead. And that's from Banu Israel, from the Israelites, so that you understand they prayed also. Not something similar to their prayer today, something similar to our salah. So he says, why did you ask for me to be brought back to life? I've died 100 years ago, and only now did that heat of death leave me. Pray that I would go back. And then he went back. So he died 100 years ago, and only then would that heat that he experienced during death depart him. So they don't experience, or we don't experience, time as we experience it here. Longer, shorter, Allah Azza wa Jal knows, but it's not the same. Does that answer your question? Inshallah. There was one here now. Sadaqa al-jariya, how does it help and elevate? So the greater good that you do, the lesser your punishment will be. So if a person deserves punishment for whatever reason in the grave and he does good, that sadaqa, especially if it's continuous, will keep combating that punishment until it overcomes it. So that is one good thing to have, which is invest in a sadaqa jariya that keeps benefiting you in your grave and beyond. Right? Just like fire, the fire could be great or it could be small, and you're throwing water on it continuously. Eventually, it will extinguish it. But it depends how big the fire is and how much water you're throwing at it. Okay, inshallah. I just want to take two more, inshallah. I don't want to do the sisters a disservice. Okay. Walaikum salam. Let me answer this one, and if you can think of the next one, inshallah, I'll answer it. So that's also another good question, inshallah. The evidence we have is, the question is about whether the dead hear us, and about when we visit the grave, do we recite Quran to benefit them, and they will know or be aware of our presence. So first of all, we only have evidence or explicit evidence that they know what is happening around them at the beginning of the burial. We have no evidence that they will continuously know what is happening around them. So if you adhere strictly to the evidence here, although there's disagreement of opinion about it, to be honest, but if you adhere strictly to the evidence, you will say that initially they know what is happening, eventually they don't. So you can't just simply go to them and communicate whatever you want and think that they will listen or they know. Even when you go to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam all the way in Medina and you pass by and you say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salamu alayka ya Abu Bakr, As-salamu alayka ya Umar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam does not know your greeting of salam except through an angel. Right? Is this not that he hears you? He knows it through an angel who tells him so-and-so said salam. And so whether you are here in Toronto or over there in Medina, when you say salam salam of the Prophet, the medium is the same. It goes through the same process. So when you go to a grave, you think I'm going to talk to them and they will hear and understand what I'm saying to them. That's not the case. Also, it's not the sunnah to go to the grave and recite the Quran. The sunnah is to say, As-salamu alaykum ahla qawmin mu'mineen wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon nas'allahu lana wa lakum al-afiyah. That's the greeting that you have. It's a dua. But there's no evidence that the Prophet either did or recommended the reading of the Quran in the cemetery, or said that this is beneficial, right? So if you want to do it, if you are among a group who thinks that, and there are scholars who do believe that, if you read Quran and give it as a gift to the dead, it benefits them, you can give it at home. But you don't do it in the cemetery. That becomes a bidah. Allah. I should probably conclude.